Namaste. So generally, when we try to understand this world, we move from surface to the depths. Whether you take science or human behavior, we look at people on the surface, try to understand what is inside. When we want to change the thing inside, again we try to do something on the surface. And science, of course, tries to understand from the surface to the depths. Now, this is one approach, but there is another approach which was taken by the ancient yogis and even modern yogis. All yogis need to take that approach, and that approach is that behind the entire phenomenal world, there is that fundamental reality. They were in search of that fundamental reality. The other day you're talking about a theory of everything. So it's like, first you find that. If you find that, you can change everything. Now, if you don't find that, all change will be precarious. So they started from the gross phenomena, physical. Then they went deeper. They discovered behind the gross phenomena, there is the vital world teeming with energies and forces. Then further, deeper, then there is another world. So they were all phenomena, including the visions of gods, goddesses. You can go deeper and deeper. That's why in typical Buddhism, you have to discard all of this, because you are wanting to find that ultimate reality. So they went deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, and they eventually discovered that there is behind this entire phenomenal world, and this entire phenomenal world is not just the material world. We are just scratching the surface of things. But deep within, behind all the worlds, behind worlds, there is this fundamental reality, which is, the term used is consciousness. In English, we use the word consciousness. It is that Chetna, Param Chetna. So now, if we understand consciousness, then everything else becomes very easy. Even understanding of consciousness gives us empowers us enormously. But first, what is consciousness? So first is, consciousness is the fundamental reality behind everything. Without consciousness, nothing can exist, including nothingness. Nothingness is where consciousness hides itself, or there is nothing corresponding within us to come in contact with that consciousness. So when there is nothing within us which can correspond to that consciousness, the word used is nothing. So there is nothing you can correspond to that, but consciousness is there. You go to the darkest inconscient, even there is consciousness. So consciousness is the matrix, the power behind everything. But that's too abstract. So what is phenomena? Phenomenon is when consciousness limits itself to form and name. So that's called naam and roop. So it is said form and name is a bandhan. Why? The consciousness limits itself. So the consciousness between me, you, X, Y, Z, the worm, the ape, consciousness is same, but it limits itself. So the example given is that you take different pitchers and containers and you put in them water or air or fire, whatever you want to do, it gets limited by the container. So consciousness is one, but it limits itself and conditions itself inside the container. So there is consciousness and there is phenomena. In ancient philosophy, it is called noumena is consciousness and phenomena. So it depends on how you use the term. So consciousness is formless, but it is the one which gives rise to forms and names. So how to understand it? There are several examples we can take. Human beings start with this example: who am I? So obviously the body is a phenomena, thought is a phenomena, feelings are phenomena, will is a phenomena, impulse, desires, all these are phenomena. So if you keep going, we even use the word, no, I aspire. I am aspiring. So who is this I who is aspiring? So if you go behind anything, you will touch this bedrock, of which nothing can be said. You can't describe it, and yet it is the source and power of everything. So what are its implications in our practical life? Let's not speak about now more about this in philosophical terms. Now, consciousness expresses itself in two terms. One is knowledge, which is the power of being aware of everything in the true way. We are all aware, but this knowledge is aware in the true way, because it's the origin of things. It sees things correctly, rightly, in their place, time, space, causality, it can see correctly. So it is the supreme awareness. And the second aspect of it is power, because it arranges everything, builds out of itself form and name. So it is knowledge and power together. And in human beings, it takes that form of knowledge and will, limited of course. And in everything in cosmos, you have this knowledge and will, which is implicit and inherent. So in an atom, there is a knowledge limited to the atom, and there is a will which is limited to the atom. So it is limited itself. So there is one consciousness, and it has two aspects, if you want to put it, knowledge and will. Both are formless aspects. And then out of that, a whole creation arises. So where do we catch this thread? We catch this thread the way it has been lost. You know, when you start disentangling things, you start from that thread which you can see. So what is given to us? Now, animal and below cannot do anything with consciousness. The consciousness is so completely submerged that animal is not conscious of a seeking for knowledge or will which is consciously driving them. They are driven by instincts. But in us, we have something called as a awareness which we can shift, and we have something called as a limited will. So from there we start. So you see how you can play with consciousness and everything changes. Because consciousness is fundamental, if you change consciousness, then phenomena will change. It's something very remarkable. Take the example, what we are going through, sickness. So what is sickness? It's a phenomena. How do doctors diagnose? They see the phenomena, pulse, blood pressure, temperature. They group them into clusters. They do the blood test. All this is phenomena. Based on that, they say, you have this illness. And they try to treat you with some medicines. So with medicines, you are freed of illness, or you are freed of the phenomenon which you are diagnosing as illness. The fundamental problem remains inside. It will take another course, another course. Now, what is happening to the consciousness aspect? When we are sick, consciousness has this ability, this power to identify with anything. So our little consciousness is identified with sickness. And when it is identified, what do we say? I am sick. And everybody reinforces that you are sick, you are sick. So at the end, what happens? Consciousness is operating on this mode that I am sick. Now, what can we do with it? We turn it into another mode. I am healthy. It may sound very strange. How can you say you are healthy? But you are sick. Change the consciousness. Shift it. I am healthy. I am healthy. When somebody asks the mother, mother, if I say that, I am cured, does it mean that the decision has already been taken? She said, yes. By the mere fact. Now, of course, repeating it mentally doesn't mean automatically we have shifted. But if we get into this habit of learning to shift consciousness, then we can really be empowered in life. But why we are not able to shift merely by thought? Because consciousness has to be first freed from the grip of matter and its conditioning. So the elementary practice in yoga is to learn to detach from circumstances, situations, events, people, surface, appearances. Why this is taught? Because this will empower us. So by doing it, we slowly begin to develop a consciousness which is independent of the phenomena. So what is the sign of it? Sign of it is that we experience two beings within us. One which is affected and the other which is unaffected. Dva Suparna, two beings I was. So one is caught in the phenomena, name and form, and the other is freed from the phenomena. This is the initial practice. And one of the ways to do it, what is given in the Gita, is pratyahar, withdraw, like a tortoise withdraws its limbs and goes inside the shell. How do we do it? By shifting awareness into that zone which is away from the physical and this phenomenal world. This requires practice. By shifting, everyday practicing. How to practice? We can take image of the mother or whoever believes in, or a flame, something that represents the highest, or a name. Now again, you are taking the help of name and form. But names and forms which represent the one supreme consciousness. So you use the word name divine. Anything, Krishna, Christ, Ma. Om, the greatest support. Om is called as Avalamb. And when you start withdrawing, taking support of that, a time comes when you are so identified with this name and form which represents for us the Supreme, that you pass beyond into that free infinite consciousness. So this is the process. Takes time. But once you do it, and even if little bit is done, swalpamasya dharmasya, even if little bit of this practice, it is very liberating. Why? Now you have the key. So anytime there is a problem, anyways there is a part of consciousness which is free, you shift it on. Whichever direction you want to shift. You are sick, you shift it to the sense of health and cure. And because you have shifted the needle of consciousness, the body will begin to respond. There is no way that it will not obey. Because that is the secret. And there are very interesting experiments even took place when the shift takes place suddenly. So there is this example of a doctor who had done a study on people who were terminally ill. So they were given heroin, and you know, heroin means that drug. They go into that to study the effect of LSD and all these drugs. So in that state of LSD, suddenly he asked this lady who was pregnant, "Do you want the baby? You're going to die." Suddenly in that state, she was disengaged with everything. This is not a way to try it, okay? This is a dangerous way, caste samadhi. But she experienced a will inside that no, she wants to live. So she said, "No, I want the baby and I want to live." And then she came out. So it was an impossibility. How can she live? She is terminal cancer, stage 4 of ovarian tumor. But then after that, suddenly everything within her began to change. She changed her job, she changed her husband, she changed her city, everything she changed. Really, because you shift the consciousness, everything in your life will change. Automatically. It is not circumstances of which we are slaves. We have identified like that. We are conditioned like that. That, you know, you depend on the circumstances. So there are habitual reactions. If circumstances are not according to my wish, I am unhappy, isn't it? If they are according to what I like, oh, wow, wonderful, pleasant. But in yoga, this is what yoga is about. To get rid of this conditioned response and give a completely different response. So in Raj Yoga, this is practice that if you dislike somebody, every time you see the person, you want to run away. So if you are a yogi, what you will do? You will not go there and say, "Oh, you are God and embrace." You don't have to do that. But you have to change it inside. And you have to give the response of love instead of hate. It requires practice. Somebody is seeing whom you get agitated, you have to give the response of peace. Now if you do it, there is a practice involved. There is no doubt about it. It won't happen magically just by wishful thinking. But if one does it, after some time, you have freed yourself from the habitual responses. So if there is corona or any disease, the habitual response is fear. Because that's the conditioning. If somebody gets annoyed at you, the habitual response is anger. Somebody doesn't do what you want the person to do, the habitual response is anger. Now when you start practicing this, then you say, "Okay, my habitual response is fear, but I want to give another response." And you start with faith, maybe a mental faith. But you have started already shifting. It is only given to man to do this. So how does he do it? By shifting awareness, even a mental awareness through which we become aware, doesn't matter. It's a mental awareness. So mental awareness shifts on to whatever represents to us faith. Now when we do that, slowly we are freed from the clutch of circumstances. And the other example was when Queen Elizabeth on the bed of death. Even deathbed you can completely disengage and make a choice. This is what is Ikshamrityu. You are so free. So your deep within this consciousness decides. Often people say, "Oh, but you know, you decide." No, not the mind, but the consciousness, which is fundamental reality. If that decides, it will. All else will follow. Even the universe is compelled to follow, but not by wishful thinking. That is how Vishwamitra could create a parallel universe. That is the power of consciousness. So the whole trick lies in shifting consciousness, and I'll give you some practical examples where people do it without knowing it. So when you are depressed, how do you shift consciousness? So the natural tendency of depression is to go deeper and deeper into a hole, isn't it? But supposing a friend comes who is very jolly, happy, cheerful, what happens? Within few minutes, you don't realize, but your needle has shifted. After the friend is gone, now you will try probably out of habit, you are depressed. You are supposed to be depressed. Something has happened, you are supposed to be depressed. But you are not depressed. Why? Because your needle has shifted unconsciously. Another example, when you are depressed, I am taking examples of depression. Common problem. When you are depressed, how to shift the needle? If you are staying at home, you are all that formation. Mere saathi ye hua, wo hua, that person did this, this person did that. Always there are people who are doing something or the other. You are the only person who is a saintly person. So, what do you do? Go to the market and you'll see what happens. Now your awareness has shifted from that hole. What was the hole? I am sad, I am miserable, I am picked up by life to, and God, everybody has decided to punish me. And you go to a market and suddenly you see a dress. Oh, this is so nice. Have you experienced it? It's called window shopping. And you pick up, buy it. And by the time you come back, you feel fine. Or you shift onto a pet. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. What you have done? You have a pet to whom you are stroking. And the pet returns back. And suddenly your needle shifts. There are different ways. Somebody will sit in bhajan. There are all different ways of shifting the consciousness. And I am not speaking of good or bad or high or low. But just this shift will change everything. If nothing else, just go out. And you see, as you walk through the road, if you really want, of course, if you want to stay in the hole, then ultimately at some point it means you want to remain in the hole. But otherwise, just these senses will pull you out. This taking advantage of the senses to draw yourself out from the hole onto anything else. Okay, so everything is or look at a flower. Mother has given such a beautiful thing. Or look at fishes. Look at a flower. There is a flower and you keep gazing. So what happens after some time? Unknowingly, our consciousness identifies with the flower. And a flower is full of beautiful qualities. Equal, frank, generous, full of beauty. So when you identify after some time, kahan gaya depression, kahan gaya? Or you identify with the stars, vastness, or with the ocean. So many things. Mother has said, imagine you are a water lily. Through imagination, you can enter into that state of identification. If you have a object, do it with an object. What you are doing, whether in imagination or physical reality, you are just shifting your consciousness unwittingly. All this is happening unconsciously. But it has an impact. Imagine if one does it consciously, what will be the impact? And when you empower yourself like that, because consciousness is the reality through which you can connect with the whole creation, you can actually influence and affect somebody other than you, even at a distance. Supposing there is somebody who is close to you, who is not close, band, but close. And the person is hurt. So what do we normally do? Ego? Okay, my ego. Hardening, isn't it? You harden. And then there is, when two stones are hardened, then they clash. So what do? Give the other response. You just, within your heart, bring the utmost goodwill and love that you can. And you see, it will have the power to melt away. Simply because you have shifted your consciousness, it will start affecting the other person. And like this, you can go on. Somebody who is ill at a distance, you can reach out through this consciousness. Imagine that person through that image, through a picture. See, that's how, there is no big deal in it. There are courses which people make it very sophisticated. Have a picture of somebody who is far away, maybe a dog, maybe a person, and you just focus on that person with the idea of peace, cure, healing. At some point, of course, there is openingness and receptivity required. But if you are a very powerful person, you will be able to transmit it. If you are not very powerful, then it depends on. But if you have practiced this, after some time, the whatever dog or cat or human being, they'll respond. Why? Because you are shifting the needle there. Remember Sri Aurobindo's story of making Kiki come alive? She was bit by a scorpion and almost dead. And the mother comes and puts it on Sri Aurobindo's table and says, but she must live. And Sri Aurobindo simply kept looking at her, looking at her, looking at her. After some time, she stressed her body, got up and jumped and walked away. This is the power of consciousness. So if we learn this, it takes time. It doesn't matter. But also, once you have got the knack of it, you come another life, you are born with this. Because this is an ability, you can't lose it. It's now inbuilt within the soul. Even as a child, you will be able to exercise it. And the mother gives number of examples she used to do. She would say that when she would be sitting, see people normally, she would try to think or try to find out what is happening beyond the walls. So she would extend the consciousness. This was an exercise a child she would do. And these are simple exercises through which we can try to extend it. It's not about magic miracle. It is inbuilt within all of us. And when we get it, then we can change life. And all the patterns, our very pattern of life, we can change by change of consciousness. So some of the common means of this is through company of somebody. This is very, you know, that's why when we meet human beings, we must be careful. If you are open to human beings whose consciousness is literally living in a hole, depressed, you will surely get depressed. There are people whose company will make you depressed in few minutes. You'll come out of meeting them, or there is a rotten consciousness, and that consciousness will come on to you, and you will not know how within me all these things are ill will. You'll fall sick. So similarly, there are people, though few in number, whose goodwill, who are full inside of that love, light, peace. And you may think they have done a magic and miracle. No, they have done nothing. It's just the needle has shifted because that's their atmosphere. Similarly, objects have atmosphere. Everything has consciousness. And it can be charged this way. Once you know this, a whole world begins to open before you. You see a crocodile. What is the first response? Oh my God! So crocodile also says, oh my God. When you see a crocodile, snake, Shiva's serpent, it will take it practice to shift it. But after some time you'll see it is remarkably empowering. By shifting awareness, you shift everything in your life. That's why people who turn to God in their life, everything begins to change. Why it begins to change? Because now they have shifted themselves onto another, in fact, the highest consciousness. So they enter into a fast forward lane of evolution. Certain things will crash, new things will appear because they are now in contact with the highest. So if you want to change destiny, if you want to even for temporary things, illness, all these things, learn to shift consciousness through a book. Of course, I mean the right kind of book. People, dangerous, but still. Or simply nature, very good, beautiful things in nature. Or best is to send your awareness or focus your awareness, turn your awareness to the very highest. Whatever in us represents the highest name and form. That's the beauty of the divine assuming a name and form, because he becomes the gate. So, because you have to take support of name and form. How do you pass beyond name and form to consciousness? It's too abstract. You want to know about consciousness which is beyond name and form and has manifested as name and form. So the divine takes a name and form. So when we concentrate upon the form divine and the name divine, he becomes the door. That's why, see, all these beings, Christ says, no, I am the door. Sri Krishna also says, I am the door. You see, mother would say, I am the door. I'm not talking of transformation right now. But they are the door because the supreme mystery consciousness takes a form and a name. By simply meditating upon them, it becomes so easy. And if you don't want to do it your way. Well, enter into a world of abstractions. Because nothing will support. From this phenomenal world to enter into pure consciousness, there is no support. Even if you try to withdraw, then you have to be like a Buddha master. Mighty warrior, trampling over everything. then yes, one can reach that state. But otherwise, name and form of the divine is a support to completely shift. And not only shift temporarily out, like in depression you look at a flower, but take away even the very possibility of getting depressed. Because you are now identified more and more with that divine consciousness. Namaste.